What I'd like to do, this is our third week on this. I'd like to sum up a little bit here before we get started, okay? Because some of us haven't been here for every meeting, and it's important that we get this whole picture here. Now, the subject we're looking at tonight is turning trouble into victory and blessing. How many here have had some sort of trouble hit them, come against them this year? I have. And then the ones that don't have their hands raised are nodding. So I think everybody in this room this year at some point has had some trouble come against them. Would you like to know how to turn your trouble into victory and blessing? Maybe you've already gotten through this trouble, but the next time it comes, wouldn't it be nice to know what you had to do to turn this whole situation around? Now, folks, here's the deal. If you'll do what we're talking about here, it will work for you, just as it did for Josaphat. Number one, why? As I mentioned, these things in the Bible, in the Old Testament, are put here for examples. They're not just stories. They're not Bible stories to tell our kids, and that's all. If the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:6, that these things are for examples for us. So when we read these things, we need to read it like, what can I get out of this that would help me in what I'm doing today in my life? There should be some practical application for any Old Testament story. So if you read it like that, you'll get more out of it. Because if you just read it to get your chapter in or two chapters in for the day, you won't get as much out of it, I don't think, as if you read it like, God has something in this for me. All right, number one. Number two, read it this way. What God did for this person, usually the stories have something to do with someone getting out of trouble. A lot of them do, you know. How the Israelites got into the promised land and got out of their trouble. How David defeated Goliath and got out of his trouble. All through the Bible, we see people that have situations come upon them, trials, temptations, tests, whatever, and then God delivers them or doesn't because of what they do. Even in the cases where they don't get delivered or they get defeated, we need to find out, why did they get defeated? What did they do wrong? In this case, we're going to find out what they did right. And the thing is, we need then to apply it to our lives, whatever is in here, okay? And that's why I want to sum up a little bit. What God will do for Jehoshaphat, listen, he'll do for you. In other words, I don't mean armies necessarily, but whatever trouble comes against you, if you'll apply the same principles that we're talking about here, in faith, the way he did it, God will deliver you just like he did Jehoshaphat. Do you believe that? I know it's true. That's why it's in here. All right. So what have we learned so far? All right. The first thing we learned is to change our focus from the what to the what. Right. Get rid of that problem in your mind and focus on the promise. So the first thing you need to do when trouble comes is begin to get in your Bible and find out, what does God's word have to say about getting me out of this? If it's healing, if you're hit by sickness symptoms, you need to know that God's word says that by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. It's just sort of like to say, well, if I was healed, how come I got this sickness, huh? You know? Well, look at it. Your Bible also says that by Jesus' blood being shed, mankind was saved. But you had a part to play in that too. He did all he's going to do is what that means. Jesus has done all he's going to do about anybody's salvation. He sent Jesus to the cross, okay? Now it's up for us to tell everybody what he did for mankind and to get them to act on what Jesus did. It's the same way with healing. That came in the same package. By Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Himself took your infirmities and bore your sickness. Okay? It came in the same package. As far as God's concerned, and this is a revelation for a lot of sick people, as far as God's concerned, he's done all he needs to do about your healing. What you need to do is act upon the promise in God's word. And when sickness comes, what I do, when flu symptoms come, and they don't come very much anymore, but if they ever do, I get up, I get out of Marianne's hearing so I don't wake her up, and I go in the other room and I say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you're not putting this on me. For it is written, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sickness. He redeemed me from the curse of the law. And in that curse, according to the word of God, was every sickness and every disease, Deuteronomy 28:61. Therefore, Satan, I refuse this. That works. Now, that's new to some of you, and some of you are going to, you know, think, could that be true? Just let it sit there a while. This is the Word of God. This is the way you do these things. All right. Change your focus from the problem to the promise. In other words, it means like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and what? Lean not unto your own understanding. Why? Because your own understanding, in many cases, is based upon sense knowledge, and that will get you in trouble. What you need to do is your focus off what your senses are telling you. In other words, you don't throw away all your senses. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a car coming down the street, and you don't want to step out in that street if your eyes see that car. But when it contradicts, when your senses contradict the Word of God, get your eyes off the senses and on God's Word. Because that's always true. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, God's Word. For the things seen are temporary and subject to change. But the things not seen in God's Word are eternal. This is eternal. This will never let you down. Okay? God's Word is forever. Thy Word, O Lord, is established forever. That's what the Word of God says. Okay, so that's number one. You need to also consider not. Just like Abraham did. It says he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, all these things said not to do something. Lean not unto your own understanding. While we look not at the things which are seen. While we consider not our own body now dead, or Abraham dead. While we consider not the armies coming against us, but we consider God's promise. While we consider not the problem that we have right now that's come into our lives, but look again at the promise. Now, that doesn't mean you just shut down everything that has to do with the situation. No, you do the normal things. I mean, you know what I'm saying. I mean, if you have a financial situation, if you don't have a job, try to get a job. I mean, you know, don't just sit around and say, God's going to take care of me. You know what I'm saying. You need to do normal things. But having done that, then focus on the promise and not the problem. Okay. Now, the next thing is to call on God in prayer. All right? It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask. Okay, so we need to pray for wisdom. We don't have it. If we need to know something. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. God says, pray. Okay? So call on God in prayer. Then when you've prayed, now here's where it gets interesting. This is what we're going to talk about tonight. Once you've prayed, you found the promise, you focused on the promise. When you find the promise, guess what? Faith cometh by hearing what that promise is. That's because it's in the Word of God. That's how you get the faith to pray. Don't pray until you found the promise. Understand what I'm saying? Find the promise first. Meditate on that promise till faith comes in your heart. Then pray. Now, we've prayed. Now, what do you do? This is key. All right, well, you're waiting on your prayer to be manifested, the answer to come. You need to do about three different things. First of all, Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, Jesus said, what things soever you desire, you're praying now, when you pray, at that instant believe you receive it. And then you shall have it later. Now, how can I believe I receive when I pray? There's only one way, and that is to already have the promise so that you have faith in your heart. See, if you know what God's Word says about healing, about finances, and you're doing your tithing, you've been a giver, then you can have faith when you pray because you have God's promise to back your prayer up. That's simply what it means when faith comes by hearing. That's all that means. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. Faith comes by hearing your Word if you tell me something. Faith came in Karen's heart when I said, you know, she thanked me. I said, for your birthday, I'll get you a car. She knew I was kidding. But, you know, if you really are serious with someone, they'll thank you then. What? I know. But I got to tell the truth, too. But you see what I'm saying here? If you've got the promise, then you've got some basis for your faith. That's the Word of God. All right, so then you can believe you receive when you pray. All right, after you've prayed, it gets interesting. Don't waver. Remember? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give to everyone that asks. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. See, the wavering happens after we pray a lot of times. We'll get together, we'll pray. Well, our faith is high. Maybe we're in a group setting like this. We're all gathered around somebody, and we pray. And everybody's thinking, wow, you know, I just know God heard this prayer. Well, if it's based on the Word of God, there's a good chance He did, and because you got faith in your heart, all right? Now, when you've prayed, you need to be sure that from the time you pray until He manifests the answer, that you don't waver. And how do we waver? Give me a couple examples how we might waver. Exactly. There's a good example. By something you say that kind of invalidates what you just prayed about. Do you think that affects your prayer? Do you think it would have affected Jehoshaphat and the men if they'd have just decided, well, you know, this is all well and good, but I've known Jehaziel since he was a little kid. And I've seen him in trouble. I've seen him do some things that weren't so good. I ain't so sure that Jehaziel's word was really from God. I'm not going out there against those people. Now, you could go if you want to. But I'm staying here, and we're getting ready for, just in case. See, that's wavering. They didn't waver. And see, that's an example for us. Once we've prayed, we need to not waver. Now, here's something I found that really helps during the time you're waiting. When you're waiting, and you believed you received when you prayed, and the doubts start to come, that's a good time to praise God for your answer. Turn that doubt into praise. Say, Father, I've got your word for this now. I prayed on January 16th, 2002 at 8:45 p.m. I write these important big prayers down, okay? I prayed. All right? Now, we just prayed, you know, just something came to mind. Marianne and I here a week or so ago about something. We needed a financial blessing on something. We're right now on a fixed income, okay? We needed something extra for something that came up, all right? We need a certain amount of money. Marianne and I were discussing this in the kitchen. I said, let's just agree that God will bring this money in for us. You know, now we're on a fixed income. We get a check every month. It's a pension type of thing, okay? Nothing else ever happens, it seems like. Well, I reject that confession in Jesus' name. See? But see, that's what you do when you know you've blown it. You reject that confession in Jesus' name. I don't believe that, Lord. That's not... Yeah, it's an example of, I just thought I'd give a good example. But you know, we agreed. Yeah, you're awake. You're ready to get me, aren't you? But we agreed, and I don't know, was it a couple weeks later?
No. Week? 3 days later.
We got a check in the mail.
Wow.
That was to the dollar of what we asked for.
Praise God. I showed him in the book, the budget book, to the penny what we would need. To the penny. And this was to the dollar, and there was some difference, like 62 cents. And he says, aha, what are we going to do with 62 cents? I said, we'll just turn out the silver cushions and we'll be fine. We'll change out the copy of your girl.
But I mean, within a dollar out of a few hundred dollars. That's pretty good. And then Marianne, I got up, I was taking a nap. She says, I've got a miracle here. I want to show you.
What? I ran in the house. I looked at the number to call on this check. And I called and I said, before you really tell it, is this really our money? Yes, it is. It was a settlement 2 years ago.
2 years ago, I had an accident with my pickup, and everything was settled.
We forgot about it.
And it was, but they sent another 250. They said there's still 250 bucks out there, so that was within a dollar. So, and then, during the time you're not wavering and you're praising God for the answer, act on your faith. Let every word that you say, every action, back up that you're believing what you pray about, okay? Now that's it. That's all it is. If you do those things, and that's what they did in this example, you'll be blessed just the way they were. But see, folks, it isn't as easy as it sounds, is it? I mean, when you're waiting and you can't see anything, sometimes it's kind of hard to praise God. But if you've got His promise, hey, which is going to be the most likely to lie, God or your circumstances that you're looking at that you don't fully understand?
Or the enemy in your ear.
Or the enemy in your ear. Right. And He'll try to get you off of this because He knows that once you see this work once in your life, or twice, it's tough the next few times to get you off of this. But see, folks, so many of us have been beaten down so much with prayers that we've never seen answered and stuff. But the thing, you know why? I don't think many of us have ever approached it this way. We're just so geared to just firing off a prayer and let's see what happens. Folks, that's called hope. Hope is in the future. Faith is now. That's the difference. Faith receives the answer now. So you're praising God just as strong when you've prayed because you have God's promise. See, don't pray until you've meditated on that promise and that faith is in your heart. then you can rejoice now because you have God's word for it. All right? Now, if you're hoping in the future for this thing to happen, that's hope, see. As far, faith is now. It's settled as far as I'm concerned. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope comes first, yes. You have to have the hope to decide what you want. You know, I hope to get that. Now I've got to get faith for it, okay? This is my goal. Hope is my goal. But so many people substitute their hope for their faith, and that won't work. Hope says, I know I'm going to be healed someday. I know God's going to do it sometime. That's not faith, folks. That's hope. Hope says, I know God's going to solve my problem sometime, eventually. He'll answer my, he'll take care of this situation sometime. Faith says it's done now. I'm praising God for it now. I have God's promise. That's a big difference, folks. It says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you've got the evidence, you can rejoice now, can't you? See the difference? We'll have to talk about this more later, some other time. Okay, so here we are. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We've gone through this. I think you're pretty familiar with it. They're being attacked by three armies. They've proclaimed a fast. They've prayed. And they've asked God to do two things. One, to show them what to do about this situation that's come up. And number two, to punish or judge or take care of this enemy that's coming against them, okay? First, take care of them and show us our part, Lord. So they asked for wisdom. And so God sends word through the Holy Spirit upon a man named Jehaziel. And he stood up and he said, thus saith the Lord God unto you about this situation. Hearken ye all Judah, verse 15. Let's see, let's have somebody else read 15. Let's start around this side this time because we started around the other side last time. Matt, you start with verse 15.
I don't even know where I'm at.
Well,
you're sitting right there in that chair.
That's where I'm at.
if anyone doesn't want to read, they don't have to. You know, if you don't want to read, just say pass.
Oh.
Okay. In fact, read 15, 16, and 17, Matt. Would you please?
And he said, listen, all of you Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow go down against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook for the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord and worshiped the Lord.
That's good. Thank you, man. Okay, so here's the answer from God to one of their prayers, all right? He's telling them what to do. They asked for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith. Did they ask in faith? Well, it says here in verse 13, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. I mean, if you're standing before the Lord just waiting in silence for God to speak, I think that's faith. I think they really expect to hear from God. All right? Now, he said to do some things here. What did he say to do? What was the first thing he said? Don't be afraid. Did you notice how many times in the Bible, you ever notice this? That every time God comes in the scene, he says something like, fear not, be not afraid, peace be unto you. You know, this is very important with God. It says, without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is a big thing with God. Because without faith, you can't please God, and God wants to bless you. I think that's one of the reasons he's not pleased, because he wants to bless you, and he can't if we're acting in doubt and unbelief rather than faith. So it says here, the first thing, don't be afraid. Now, that's good advice for any of us. Don't be afraid. I don't care what's facing you. Don't be afraid. If you're afraid, you're not in good condition to receive from God. You need to find that promise and get back on that promise and meditate and focus on that promise. Okay? If anybody has some things that they're dealing with here, that there's still some fear, find that promise. If you don't know how to find it, you know what a concordance is? Go get a concordance and look up whatever your problem is and find the scriptures that deal with that. or ask somebody else maybe. But find a promise that covers your situation. All right? So then you won't have to be afraid. That's the only way you're going to not be able to be afraid. Okay, what's the next thing he said to do? Go down or march against them. All right. Right. He tells them that. It's his battle, isn't it? All right, so there's two things here. It's part that God's going to do. There's part that they got to do. Okay, we need to know what God's going to do for us. That's important. But mostly, we need to know, what do we have to do? What is God saying we have to do? So God said, this is what I'm going to do. But is God going to do this under any conditions? No matter what? No. He's only going to do this if they do what he told them to do. See, that's why we got to understand our part. He says, look, you're not going to have to fight in this battle. The battle's not yours, but mine. If, big if you do what I tell you to do. First thing I'm telling you to do is to be not afraid. So many times we rush over that. No, don't rush over that. You need to focus. You need to get rid of the fear first. Okay, if you want an answer to your prayer. Number two, what's the next thing? We just read it. Go down against them. Now, don't get too carried away with your mind here. I mean, God says, the battle's not yours, but mine. You won't have to fight in this battle. Go down against them. A lot of us real bright boys would say, wait a minute, if God's really going to do this, what's the point of going down against them? False prophet. You know, I don't believe this. This guy's not even consistent here. No, there's a reason God wants them to go down against them. So they need to do two things. They need to fear not, and they need to go down against them. All right? So they've got two parts to play in this thing. Two parts, actually. All right. Now, verse 18. Madge, do you want to read, or do you want Karen to read for you? All right. Karen, would you read verse 18, please?
Jehoshaphat put his face to the ground, and all the people of Judea and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord.
Okay, now, keep in mind, these people had just heard what God said for them to do, and what God said he'd do. Now, why do you suppose they fell down on the ground and bowed their heads to the ground? I mean, got any ideas? That's good news, isn't it? And if you believe what God said there, all they could do was just fall down and say, thank you, God. Oh, praise you. Thank you. You know, folks, we ought to have the same attitude when we're reading the Word of God and we see the solution to our problem and what God says for us to do and what he says he's going to do. We should have that attitude. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, I see it here. Thank you for this promise. Oh, Father, this is so good. Thank you, Father, that you're telling me right here that you take care of the birds of the air. So much more will you take care of your kids. You provide for the, you clothe the lilies of the field so beautifully. How much more? Lord, I've been worrying about this, and I repent of it, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm sorry. There was no reason for me to worry. All you say to do, Father, is to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me. Oh, Father, that's good news. See? Now, if we really believe God's word, that should be our attitude. That's what they did. They fell before the Lord. Oh, Father, thank you. Okay. So what are they doing? Do you think they believed, they received when they prayed? Yes, they're acting just exactly like that. And they what? And they believed it. And that's why they fell to the ground and worshiped God. Now they could have done something else, couldn't they? They could have said, is that it? Still got to go against them? I don't consider that an answer to prayer. They could have said that. I'm not going out there. I mean, folks, you got to kind of put yourself in. I like to do it sometimes. Put myself in their position. We got an army coming from Fort Wayne against Columbia City, big time. All of Indianapolis, all the non-Christians there and everybody decided to take out the Christians in Whitley County. And they've got about 500,000 people, and they're gathered. It sounds silly, but let's just say it happened. And they're coming against us. And we just, you know, there's no way in the natural we could take care of this situation. What are we going to do? Let's ask God. There's a revelation. And so we ask God. And instead of going crazy with fear and everything, we ask God, and God speaks to us and says, there's a promise in my word. Psalm 91, you know, it says, there, it says, 1,000 can fall on your left and 1,000 can fall on your right, but it won't come near you. I like that one. You know, I'll protect you from the arrow that flies by day and the something else that comes at night. Forget it. But, you know, Psalm 91 is a good protection promises in there. So we get together and we find these promises in the Word of God. We say, you know, we don't have to be afraid here. What else does God have to say in His Word? And we all get together as Christians and we decide what God's Word says to do and begin to rejoice because God's going to take care of us. You know, and or we can just get real fearful and say, us poor Christians, we're always persecuted. I don't understand this. You know, they said there'd be persecution in the last days. Here it comes. I just knew it was going to get worse and worse. This must be part of the tribulation. I thought we weren't supposed to go, you know, blah, 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 and get all carried away. Huh?
I'm suing somebody.
You know, it's really our choice, isn't it? You know, but it makes it real.
And in verse 17 in the NIV, it also says, take up your positions and stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. But they were also worshiping. They were going to see. God told them that they were going to see Him do it.
Right.
Not just
see the effect of it.
Stand there some way that maybe beats.
Yeah.
Still, you know. Just,
but go out. But go out. Go out and stand still. Sounds like the army, doesn't it? No, but, you know, if you try to reason your way through this, you think, well, it doesn't make any sense to go out there and then just stand there. What's the point of going out there? You know, you can get kind of caught up in your own way of thinking. Just do what God's Word says to do, okay? And so they're coming against us, and we get a promise of the Word of God, and all of us here in this room just fall down and worship God. Thank you, Lord. And then we just walk out there against them to see what God's going to do. That's what they did. All right, now, then they had a deal come. He said, what day was he supposed to go down against these people? When was this going to take place? Tomorrow. See, there's always tomorrow. Wouldn't it be nice if God, every time we prayed, instantly the prayer answer would come at that moment? There wouldn't be any tomorrow business where we have to wait overnight, wait a few days, wait a couple of weeks, wait a couple of months to see how God's going to do this. Yeah, that's right. Or 25 years, like Abraham did. 25 years. Yeah. And they'd never seen rain before. That was a clue, wasn't it? Weird.
You know, in the middle of this desert, build this ark.
Yeah. From what?
Oh, Lord, what for? Yeah.
Well, it's going to rain. Rain.
Yeah, rain. What's rain? They hadn't seen rain.
Yeah, that took a lot of faith, didn't it?
Now, what were the people laughed at them? You know, really.
That was written for our examples. Sometimes God has got more for us. We're believing for so much, something, but God's got more than that for us. And if we'll go out against them and trust Him, He'll not only bring that thing, victory we wanted, He'll bring us blessing too. We're going to see that here in a minute, just like Madge said. So let's go on. They had to spend the night, didn't they? Because they weren't going out till tomorrow. And folks, you know, I've looked over this many times here, and I can empathize with these people spending the night. Because it seems like in the night, I know when we were having some problems with our son and things like that, it seemed like in the night, it would just wake up and it was right there in front of your face. Just troubles and everything. Got through the day okay, but right there at night, you know, and everything seems so much worse at night sometimes, it seems like. Things are quiet in the house and the enemy catches you kind of by surprise, you know, and you wake up and there's that problem right in your face. Like, now it's important. What do you do at that instant? Begin to praise the Lord again or something. But here they had to spend the night. But now time is passing and the euphoria has died down a little bit. And you're spending the night out there, each alone with their own thoughts. There's no Jehoshaphat all night long rallying the troops. You're quiet. You're all there with your own thoughts. You know, that's what makes or breaks us, folks, in these times of waiting on the manifestation to our prayer. What do we do during the night? What do we do when we're not seeing anything happen? Okay, so let's read verse 20 now. Karen, would you read verse 20?
Okay. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall he be established. Believe his promise, so shall it be prospered.
You hear what he said there? Jehoshaphat, they're getting up early in the morning. They're going forth now, just like God said. Now they're doing the first thing, aren't they? God says, go out against them. So they're going forth. So that's the first thing. They're acting on what God said. It's important. God tells you to do something. These are the conditions. Like, say, it's finances. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And you're waiting for your finances. Did you do the giving? No. Well, sorry. But say you've done the giving. All right? That's you're going forth. That's your action on the Word of God. Their action on what God said do is to go forth. And so they're going forth. And Jehoshaphat says, listen, folks, here's the way we're going to prosper now. Only one way. Believe what the prophet said yesterday. That's what you got to believe. Believe in the Lord your God and believe what the prophet said to us. What did he say? Go out against them. Fear not. I'll take care of this situation if you'll do that. You won't have to fight. All right? So he's just reminding them a little bit. Sort of sounds to me, when he says, believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. It sounds like Joshua 1:8 a little bit. He said, if you meditate upon my word day and night and observe to do all that's written therein, and turn not from it to the right or to the left, but observe to do all that's written therein, then you shall prosper and have good success. You prosper and have good success when you meditate on God's word and then do what it says. It's so simple. I don't know why it's so hard for us sometimes. It's because I think that our sense, we're so used to operating on our senses only. What we can see with our eyes, what we can hear with our ears, what we can smell, what we can taste, what we can touch, that we forget that God's got even more eternal things that are true in here. And if we'll act on these, God will change the situation. Okay, so believe his prophets. Yes. Yes, certainly.
What I saw here was, and I was just, as we were reading this, you know, if you get the word the first thing in the morning and reestablish what it was God said the night before, you take care of any doubt that might have come.
That's a good point.
And what Jehoshaphat did was very outstanding here. Before anybody could say anything, he told them.
Yeah.
What God had said and what
right.
to believe and reestablish what was right.
Got their day started right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. See, he shut them off before they got anything negative going from their night alone. I think that's very good. See, and I think that's why it's good to have your quiet time. I like to do it in the morning because it can save me so much time during the day. You know, the things God will share with you in the mornings, the things that you see in his word during the mornings will come into play during your day if you believe him for that and will save you time. So many people say, well, I haven't got time. You haven't got time not to, really. Because, you know, if you don't have time for God's word, you're going to be in deep doo-doo as a Christian pretty soon. Because God is trying to get a hold of you and tell you some things all the time. And if we don't give him an opportunity, it's like walking around with a blindfold on all day, you know. Stumble over this thing here. What was that? I didn't know, you know. You're just like the world then. They're all stumbling around out there, running into each other, running into things, thinking they got good deals going. And you can just, some of these things, you can just hear at once. I can. Say, this is never going to work. But they didn't ask me my opinion, so I'm not going to say anything, you know. But this will never fly. Never in a million years. And these people are so sure this is going to work out. Some of these times, Christians can tell you stuff and say, don't they know that's not going to work? Don't they know? That violates about three principles in God's word. It will never work. Can't work. But they're so fired up and they think it's going to work. Okay, very good point, Karen. Thank you. Okay, now. Yeah.
Who is it that's all fired up and thinks it's going to work? I missed that. We were just talking.
Christians can be that way. They can, you know, they come in, they just got ideas based upon the world's way of doing things. And they'll come in and say, I got this new deal. I'm going to make a lot of money. You know, everybody's into this thing. Oh, man, if I'll just get into this thing and I can sign up a bunch of more people and we're going to all do this thing together and I get all these, oh, this is great. But that's not God. That's not God. Or this one guy came to me one time and he said, the Lord told me, oh, praise God, this is so good, Mike. You're going to love this. He told me last night you and I were going to get in the tire business together. This is, it's going to be a Christian tire business, and we're going to do it together. And he says, how do you like that? I mean, I just heard it so clearly. And I says, well, when God speaks to me about it, I'll let you know.
Taking me never talked to you.
No, I haven't. Or, you know, and just crazy ideas. Or God's going to bless this situation. And they'll describe something as half shady. He's not going to bless that. Sorry. Well, but you need to stay in the Word of God so that God's Word will come in there right away and say, that is not scriptural, what they're saying here. It violates about three different things here. That can't work. But I hear people all the time, even Christians, say these things, you know. And you don't say anything because God didn't tell you to tell him anything. I mean, you know, it's none of your business. But anyway, all right. Verse 21. Thorpe, would you read verse 21?
When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that it should praise the and
praise the. That's okay. You want someone else to read?
Now let's see. You just want me to do the one there?
Yeah.
And that would praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, his mercy endureth forever.
Okay. So what did they decide, what did Jehoshaphat decide to have them do?
Sing praises.
Sing praises unto God. Now, huh? He set up the choir, didn't he? Why are they praising God? Right. They believe they receive when they pray. And folks, this is what we need to do. Before we see the answer, we need to be thanking God for the answer. All right? Now, verse 22. Nikki.
As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated.
Read that first four or five words again and stop.
As they began to sing and praise.
As they began to sing. And you think that was a coincidence?
No.
Uh-uh. As they began to sing and to praise, God went to work. As they began to sing and to praise, God went to work. Let that sink in. As they began to sing and to praise, God began to do something about the problem. But that's okay. As they began to sing and to praise, God began at that moment to solve the problem. This is written for our examples, folks. Okay? We're to learn from this. When trouble comes, do what we talked about. Once you've prayed, and then begin to sing and praise God for your answer before you see anything happen. Now, when they begin to sing and to praise, it says that these people begin to fight each other, didn't it? Well, verse 23. Read verse 23, Amanda, would you please, or Jocelyn, whichever one wants to.
Armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had finished off the Mormon city, they turned on each other.
Now, would that ever occur to you? I mean, we've read this now, but I mean, up to this point, you got to be wondering. Here we are out here in a vulnerable position. We're praising God. We know we have the answer, but we don't know how we have the answer. Now, the thing is, you've got to train yourself, and I'm not very good at this yet. I always try to figure out how it's going to happen. Do you do that? How's God going to do this? I know he's going to answer my prayer, but boy, how in the world is he going to do it? And then when he furthermore says, and you're not going to have to fight, that really makes it interesting. Here we are going out there. There's armies out there. We're not going to have to fight. Maybe angels are going to, huh? Yeah, well, they're not watching it yet. They never did see him fight. That's an interesting point in itself. But see, what they're doing is they're praising God And God then begins to do something that, who'd have thought it? You know, they'd fight each other. Who would have thought that the world would all just start beating on each other? God had to figure out all ahead. He just wasn't letting them in on everything because he wanted them to operate in faith on this thing. So when they began to sing and to praise, this all started happening, but they didn't see it. They weren't there yet. Read verse 24 now, Becky.
And the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army. They saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped.
Now, they only saw the after effects, didn't they? They didn't know that when they began to sing and to praise, God went into action. Important point here. When you begin to sing and to praise about your problem, you're not going to know what's going on behind the scenes. But don't let your faith be influenced by what you can see with your eyes. Continue to look not at things seen. Because if you're going to start looking around you, then I'm praising God, I don't see anything happening. You know, they didn't do that. They just start praising God. But see, the thing is important to know, God is working on your situation even when you can't see anything. See, usually when we have a situation or trouble, it involves more than just us. There's other people involved in this situation that have to come into line. And when we're singing and praising, we don't necessarily see those people going, changing their mind or whatever they need to do to come into line with what you've prayed. That's okay. Continue to sing and to praise. They didn't see anything either, did they? They didn't go like this, let's praise God, you know, kind of looking out there, praise the Lord, I don't see anything yet, praise the Lord. They weren't even there. They didn't see anything. And we don't know how long it took them to get there. It may have been several hours. It may have been taking a day. The point is, as I said before, just know that when you've done these things, God is working on your behalf, whether you see it or not. And finally, then, at some point, you will see the results. You may never see the battle that took place, but eventually you're going to see the results of that battle. Yeah. What are those guys fighting each other for? Maybe we ought to go down and break it up. Some dumb thing. All right. Verse 25, Ellen.
When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the spoil from them, they found cattle in great numbers, goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could not carry anymore.
Is that all yours says?
There were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much.
Wow. Now, are they better off now than they were before they were attacked? Yeah, that's the blessing. The victory is getting what you've asked for and getting rid of the problem. The blessing is having more than when you've gotten rid of the problem than you had to start with. That's a blessing. So they're better off now that they were attacked than they were not being attacked. Is that true?
Yes.
That's true. And folks, God will do the same thing for you. I don't know how many times, and I think next week we're going to have some personal examples maybe, you know, some things that has worked exactly this way in our lives. Where God has taken us through things, we've tried to do it the way he said do it, and then the victory came, and then more besides that we didn't even count on. See, they got more than they bargained for here. So much, now listen to this, this got me too. It took them 3 days to gather up the spoil. I mean, that's more time than has elapsed since they first heard they were being attacked. It took them longer, probably, to gather up the spoil than it did to hear about this thing, hear what God had to say, sleep through the night, and go out there. Another thing I thought about when I was thinking about this, you know, if it takes you 3 days to gather up the spoil, to me it's an indication we're really outnumbered. You know, this is a miracle. I mean, you know, they really did have a lot to, in the natural, fear about. Because I figured, you know, if one person going into battle can only take so much gear with him, right? Now, how long does it take a person to take all that guy's gear? I figured, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, I don't know. Let's say it took a half hour for you to go in and gather up all the spoil that one guy was able to haul into battle with him, or his, including his manservant or whatever else might have come in there with him. I don't know.
I wonder where they brought all the arms. They had those armies. They didn't travel. They had caravans and stuff with them, and they had hangers on and everything. And they said, because they were far.
And sometimes they'd raid different places and go on.
And everything else. And yes, and they raided other places and took all that spoil. So they had spoils from other raids. They didn't just go.
But you're right too. We don't know for sure, but these are possibilities that maybe they'd rob somebody else. They always had to take enough food for them to eat, and cattle and stuff to slaughter on the way and stuff.
They don't have the rations that the army has now.
Well, they just didn't come from their country. They were just passing through and what
maybe
they needed on the road through, right?
Yeah, well, probably.
Could be either way. We doesn't say. I mean, you know, they could have just come special on this one thing. But whatever it was, they brought lots of stuff with them. And I figured if it took one guy a half hour to gather up one guy's stuff, that means in a 12-hour day, you could gather up 24 people's stuff. If it took 3 days, that'd be 75 people, almost 72. I mean, they were outnumbered maybe 70 to 1. I don't know. This is just a rough. But they were really outnumbered. If it takes you 3 days, there's a lot of stuff going back to camp. And that wasn't hauling it back to the main camp. It says they were still out here, just picking it up for 3 days. Then they took it back. That's a blessing. And there's a lesson there, too. You know, when you do get to victory, hang around. Make sure you wring this thing out for all it's got for you. You know, because God is a very generous God. Ephesians 3:20 says something about the generosity of God. Why don't we just turn to there real quick? Keep your finger back there. We'll start with verse 19. Verse 20. Okay, did you hear that? It says that we need to try to know the love of God, which passes understanding. In other words, try to know it, but you can't really know it. In other words, it's greater than you can possibly imagine. And here's one example. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, they asked for something, didn't they? They got more than they asked. If you got above what you've asked or could even think, that'd be good, wouldn't it? But if you get abundantly above all you could either ask or think, that's really good, isn't it? But to get exceedingly abundantly above all you could possibly ask or think, that's God. That's how much He loves you. You know, folks, the thing is, He wants to do so much more for us than we've ever experienced in our lives. And the only thing holding Him back is us and our little knowledge of what He wants to do for us, what our rights and privileges are as Christians in this Bible. But until we find these things out and get them in our hearts and begin to act like it's true, we'll never see these things, even though God wants us to have them. Somehow we've gotten this false mentality somewhere along the line that God wants us just to barely scrape by in this world. Sort of be like the world. You know, not much difference. That's not what the Bible says all the way through it. That's just something that's crept in here somewhere. All the way through, God has tried to take His people and raise them up and show the world that if you obey Me and get hooked up with My principles, anything is possible. Look at Abraham. He was rich. He had an abundance of things. God doesn't mind us being rich. He just minds the riches having us. He doesn't mind us having the stuff because He's got a lot of work He'd like to do with some of that money. You know, people say, well, I don't want any of that filthy lucre or money, filthy money. Well, when it says that, it doesn't mean that there's anything dirty about money. It just means that there's dirty ways to get money. Okay? And you notice people say, well, money's the root of all evil. No, it says the love of money. See, we need money. We need finances. We need blessing because God's got things He wants to do. on this planet with our money. And he wants us to be blessed at the same time. But somehow we get this mentality crept in some places where, well, we wouldn't want anything, you know. Just barely enough. I see all the way along through the Bible, people getting blessed. God give me more than enough when they operated in faith. So we have here an example, I think, of what to do when trouble hits and how to change the trouble that comes into not only victory, but blessing too. Okay? And the principles that are involved are the ones that we covered in the very beginning. And if we were going to add to those now, the two things we've learned tonight are to, we could add a 6 and a 7 to that. We could say, act on God's word once you receive the promise. Not only focus on it, but then act on your part. In other words, it was necessary for them to go out and to fear not to receive the promise. That was their part. And that's not to be taken lightly. Only then would God fight the battle for them. It was necessary that they do their part. And number 7, don't forget to praise God for the answer to the thing that you're looking for before you see it, during the time at which it looks like nothing is working out. You know, when they began to praise God, they couldn't see anything happening. In fact, they couldn't see anything happening even after that for a while. But God was working on their behalf while they were praising, because the word of God is very clear there. It says, and when they begin to sing and to praise, God set ambushments against those three countries. And then later, they saw the effect of it. Now, if you'll do the things the way that we've discussed here, you will eventually, just like Jehoshaphat, see the answer. But there's going to be a time, from the time that you get your trouble, and you pray, you find your promise, until that thing finally happens. And what you do during that time is really important. And what do we do during that time? We what? We believe. We act on what God told us our part is. You know, there's always something. I mean, I've shared this before, but one time when I was a brand new Christian, I wanted some money. I needed some money for something bad. And, what it was, we had three little kids in this little tiny house, and there wasn't room for us. And I said, God, I just found out that I'm a Christian, and I'm allowed to pray in Jesus' name for things, and I'm asking you for money to be able to add on some rooms to our house here. Now, we have this vacant lot that we're trying to sell, and I'm asking you to sell that lot for a nice amount of profit so that we can add on to our house. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Nothing happened. I mean, it must have been 2 weeks went by, I didn't see anything happening, and I'm waiting, because I've heard that if you pray, you're going to receive what you prayed for. One morning I'm up praying to God, saying, God, you said, if I ask you anything in Jesus' name. And God spoke to me that morning, finally, after about 2 weeks of this. And I've shared this with some of you, and he said to me very clearly, you have insufficient funds. And my first thought was, I know that. That's the problem. You're right. And then I began, that word, insufficient funds, began to bang around in my head a little bit. And I thought, where have I seen that word before? Where have you seen that word before? Bank statements sometimes. You're trying to withdraw something from the bank when you don't have any funds in the bank. It hit me just like a ton of bricks. I thought, you know, I've heard in the very brief time I've been a Christian, that we need to sow before we reap. And I knew what God was saying. He's saying, I heard your prayer, but you've never deposited anything in my account that I got to work with here. So I came into Marianne and I said, here's the problem we got. We're praying, okay, but we have never given anything. See, we're brand new. We're just baby Christians. We don't know from nothing. We thought if you went to Sunday church, you put $2 in the collection, that was shooting the moon. That was it, boy. And so I said, Marianne, God just spoke to me, and he said, we have insufficient funds in our heavenly account. We need to sow something. She says, what do you have in mind? And I said, well, we got $1,100. Let's give it away and today and get God, because we need to do this. And she says, you want to give it all away? And I says, yeah. She says, well, I don't know about that. So she says, I could agree to give half of it away. And my first reaction was to say, no, let's give it all away. That way we'll get back more. But God is, this is the second time he spoke to me. I was just about to say that, and I just knew in my heart, it wasn't a voice or anything, just knew it in my heart, get in agreement with Mary Ann on this thing. That's more important than anything else. So I thought, okay, all right, let's just, and that, by the way, was a key thing in marriage all the way. Get in agreement. Get in agreement before you do things. Because God taught me that she's got the same Holy Spirit you got. And if you think you're right and she's not agreeing, it's not the Holy Spirit that's wrong. One of you is in the flesh here. And the Holy Spirit will eventually, if you'll pray about this, will bring you both together if you both truly want to do what God wants you to do. Because the same Holy Spirit's in you that's in her. He's not schizophrenic. He is the same in her as he is in you. And so anyway, she says, okay, we agree to give half of that away. So we went right out and drew out half of it and gave it to this minister and his wife who we knew that could use the money, just felt led to give it there. So we did that. So I'm excited now because God has spoken and he said, you have insufficient funds? Now we don't. We've deposited something. The next morning I'm up saying, thank you for showing me that, Lord. I know now that we're going to receive that for which we believe for. And while I'm just in the act of doing that, there's a knock on the door. I go to the door, and this guy's standing there. And I've shared this with some of you. I know that, but some haven't heard it. And I've never seen this guy before. And he said to me, are you the guy that's got the lot for sale? And I says, yeah. But how do you know? Because I had really, folks, given up. I had taken the ad out of the paper for about a month. I just got tired of throwing this money at the paper all the time for this ad. And so I says, yes, I do, but how did you know? And he said, well, he said, I'm a builder. And this morning I was in the bathroom sitting on the toilet. And I just reached over at a stack of newspapers, the high stack there, and just pulled one out to read it. And he says, I'm always looking for lots. I'm a spec builder. And I saw this lot. This is the paper's a month old. Well, anyway, he wrote me a check for exactly what I was at. Right there at the door, wrote me a check for exactly what I was asking for. We took the check down then and had it, went through the proper procedures to sell him this lot. But it was exactly what I was asking for the next day. And I thought, we're on to something here. We're on to something. And you know, because it was God's word. Now, I was operating insofar as what I knew. And that was to pray in Jesus' name for what I needed. But what I didn't need to know was that I needed to have something for God to work with first. Just like a farmer, it doesn't do him any good to go in the house and say, okay, Father, now it's spring, and I'm believing for a really good crop of corn, and I'm praying in Jesus' name, give me a good crop of corn. And never go out and run his tractor up and down the field, do anything. We'd say, well, it's stupid. Well, to God, it was probably just as stupid. But I didn't know. But he showed me. If you're truly sincere and trying to do these things God's way, he will show you. Okay? So, anyway, that's enough for tonight. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you. Just ask you to quicken this word to the people this week, Father, as they go about their daily business, Father, and just give them opportunities to put this word into practice. And Father, when an opportunity does come, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would quicken it to their spirit and say, here's a chance. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do to act on your faith. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask this. Amen.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Now, before we get started on the homework, I want to ask a couple questions here that aren't in the homework, just for fun. Why in the world are we studying this? Just anybody. Why are we doing this? What's the point? Anybody want to hazard a guess? Yeah. Well, what in the world does this thing have to do with us, this story? Right. Exactly. We're trying to learn from this. Because we found out 1 Corinthians 10:6 says that these things, just like Sue said, in the Old Testament, happened for our example. Okay? That's why these stories are in here. They're not just history stories. They're in there for our example. All right, so it's an example. We established that, thanks to Sue over there. Now, why do we have examples? So it's an example. What's the purpose of an example? Right. So we'll know what to do. This is very good. Exactly, Madge. Thank you. So we know what to do. Well, now, here's the big question. If we know what to do, will God do the same thing for us that he did for them? Yes, he will. And why will he? If we praise him. Because God is no respecter of persons. That simply means that what God will do for one, he will do for another under the same conditions of faith on the part of the one asking. Now, we may not have three warring tribes come against us, but sometimes it seems that way, doesn't it? And so, I really like the answers. It's so we'll know what to do. And so, let's go into our true-false questions with that in mind. Okay, first question. When the people heard the prophet's instructions, they believed it was God speaking through the prophet. True or false? True. And that was one of the remarkable things of this story to recall. Everyone believed. There wasn't one record. They all were in unity on this thing. There wasn't one group doing one thing and one doing the other. They were all together. It wasn't just Jehoshaphat. All of Judah and Jerusalem were with him in this thing. Okay, number two. They were so afraid when the prophet said they were to go out against the armies, they fell down in fear and dejection. They fell down, but to do what? Praise the Lord. Exactly. True or false? There are no prophets today, though. False? Do you know any prophets around? Oh, you're right. It's true, isn't it? We don't have to know one. And there may be some around and we don't even know it. What? Okay. There's the gift of prophecy. And then there are people who have the ministry of a prophet. Now, we're not going to get into this tonight, but everyone who prophesies isn't necessarily a prophet. Okay? But there are prophets today. Yeah. He's one. And there's some few more. And there's several others. Because the Word of God tells us that there's ministry. There's evangelists, pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers. These are ministries set up in the body of Christ by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head of the church, and he anoints people for these different ministries. Okay? And there's a lot of other ministries, too, that may not be that fivefold. There's ministries of helps. We're all called to something. Okay? So there are prophets today. I just thought I'd throw that in there because you don't hear that every day. And so Nikki's exactly right in what she said over there, so thank you. After God quit speaking, night came, and during the night it was necessary for them to continue to focus on what God said and not on the armies that were coming against them. Is that true? That kind of goes for us too, doesn't it? You know, we all have midnight times in our lives. And it seems like that's the time the enemy comes most hard sometimes against us. But just continue to praise the Lord. Just continue to believe what his word says. And God will go to bat in your behalf. When they arose in the morning, they acted on their faith by waiting in camp for word that God had defeated the enemy. True or false? What did they do? They went out against them, just like God said do, didn't they? Good. Well, you guys really got this episode down. God appointed singers and praisers to go forth before the people. True or false? Thought I'd get you on that one. I didn't, did I? Who did appoint the praisers? Jehoshaphat did. That was up to them to do that. God doesn't get down on his knees and beg us to praise him, okay? But it's always good to do, especially when you're in trouble. Because that's probably the highest type of faith. When you can come before your Heavenly Father in private and praise him for the answer before you see it in the natural, that's faith. And mean it. And not be just doing it to get out of it, but to know in your heart that God's taking care of the situation. God likes that. When the people began to sing and to praise God, then God went to work and caused the enemy to destroy one another. That's true. Exactly when it happened. When they began to praise God, the people watched the enemy armies as they began to destroy each other. False. Why is it false? Right. They were already destroyed when they saw them. See, and that's the point of this is, you're going to have to praise the Lord before you see anything change in your situation if you want to get out of it. Okay? See, anybody can praise the Lord and say, oh, praise the Lord. Look, we don't have to fight. They're all laying dead on the ground. Praise God. But when you don't see it yet and you're just praising God because of the promise in his word, that's faith. Because you know, it's like we talked the other day. If I tell one of you we're going to meet for breakfast or something like that at 8 o'clock and you show up, you showed up because you believed the word that I said, right? And that, and you can start rejoicing in the fact that, oh, we're going to have breakfast together. I really like doing that, you know? And you don't have to wait till it actually happens because you really, truly believe this is going to take place. Because of what? You have the word of someone. That's all God's saying to you. You have my word. You've got a whole Bible full of my word here. Rejoice and praise me for the answer before you see it. And then...
You affirm the faith by seeing the white all lying in their bed and all the suffering.
Yeah.
Because if there would have been no one there, they would have thought, oh, well, something happened. They turned around. They had to go do something else. But God affirms their belief in their faith.
Yeah, and they don't have to worry about these guys anymore either. They're not going to come back another time for a long time. That's a good point. That's great. Thank you. All right, let's see. When we begin to praise God for the answer while still in trouble and before we see any deliverance, this is a form of acting on our faith, and it pleases God. True or false?
True.
We just covered that, didn't we? If we just have faith, God will answer our prayers. True or false? Boy, everybody said false. I thought sure there'd be some truths there. Why is that false? Because you got to act your faith, boy.
Huh?
No, everybody said it, I think. It sounded like. Right. Forgiving is very important. Well, see, that's what really I thought about that question. If you just have faith, but see, to really have faith means active faith. Faith worketh by love. So I'm assuming that if you really have faith, you're walking in love. See, faith worketh by love. That's a scripture I've been meditating on lately. Faith works by love. If you're in strife or out of love, your faith will be weak. And that's a whole nother lesson right there, but Thorpe raises a good point there. All right. God can determine the quality of our faith by looking at what we say and do. True or false? True. What you say and do really tells God what you're really believing. You understand what I'm saying? Once you've prayed, and then what are you going to do the next week or two while you're waiting on the answer to that prayer? If your confession is negative, God hears that. You didn't believe anything, you know? You've got to be consistent. What does it say in James 1, 5 and 6? It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth, don't let that person think he's going to receive anything from God. So how can we not waver? Can we just try real hard not to waver? What's the key? This is off, not on the homework, but what's the key to being able to stand in faith? Right, exactly what Matt said. Look at the promise. Know you have a promise. If you don't have any promise, we're kind of out in la-la land. But we've got promises. That's why the Word of God is so important. It's the foundation of your faith. Okay. They did exactly what God told them to do and were blessed. This can happen to us too. True or false? True. That's the whole point of this being in the Bible. We can find out what God wants us to do by meditating in His Word and spending time each day in fellowship with God. This way, if the Holy Spirit wants to speak, we can hear Him. It's a long one, isn't it? That's true. If you want to know what God wants you to do, stay in His Word and spend time with Him each day. He's not going to, you know, wrestle you down in front of the TV set and say, hello, are you listening? I got something I want to tell you. Usually it's going to happen in that quiet time in the morning. God normally speaks to us in one of three ways. Now, this wasn't in this lesson, but some of you have been in our classes before know this. Through His Word, by the inner witness, and by the still small voice. True or false? That's true. That's the most common way the Lord speaks to us. Okay, if Jehoshaphat hadn't inquired of God and instead just went out against the enemy and fought them, they still would have defeated them, but they might have lost some men. True or false?
False.
False, or at the very best, we don't know. I mean, you would have no basis for thinking you would defeat them in that case. It's always best to ask God, isn't it? God, what do you want us to do here in this situation? Jehoshaphat and Judah received both a victory and a blessing. True. They received a victory. What was the blessing?
4 days of spoil.
Wow. All those spoils. So they came, well, whoops. Because Judah and Joseph had obeyed God, they ended up better off than they would have been even if they'd never been attacked. True or false? True. Isn't that great? I mean, what a story. Here they go in with a big trouble, a mess on their hands, and they come out of it better than they went in. You know what? That's possible to happen. That's what God wants for every one of us in this room.